Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 to 14. I'm going to get this on here. Give me just 1 second while I do that. You turn in your Bibles there. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 to 14. For some of you folks watching live stream, it's kind of weird to be in your pajamas, huh? Amen. You're lucky. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sure if I was in my pajamas preaching, you probably wouldn't watch this ever again. Amen. So 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 to 14. When you found it, if you could, would you please stand? 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 to 14. And God's word says this, beginning in verse 5 of chapter 3 of the book of 1 Kings. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child, I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And thy speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but to ask for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words, so I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any rise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days." And finally, verse 14. "If thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." And this morning I want to preach on this one thought entitled this, One Wish. One Wish. Have a word of prayer and you can be seated. Father, I love you and thank you, Lord. As was prayed earlier in the offering, I echo the prayer. I pray for our leaders in this country. I think of our president, President Trump, today. I pray you'd help him. I pray you'd give him wisdom making decisions. I pray for our leaders on a more state level. I pray for our governor. If he's not saved, I pray he gets saved, Lord. I pray you help him make decisions that be not just better, good for the people, but also honoring to you. I pray for our folks, leaders on our local or city level. I think of our mayor, I think of our aldermen, those powers that be exercising laws and things of that nature here on a local level. I pray you bless them as well. God, I pray you help us here who are hear your word preached. I pray you bless, give us ears to hear, Lord. I pray for those who could not be here, those who are watching online. I pray you bless them as well. Help them get what they need from your precious word. God, I pray this virus would be healed quickly. We know, again, as I mentioned so many times already in past messages, that you healeth all thy diseases. And I pray that you would bring healing and we get people back in the church. Lord, I pray this would not be a situation that would be a consequence negatively to the morale of this country spiritually. I pray people would come back to church in greater numbers after this thing is taken care of, Lord, to help people to see the need for church, Lord. I pray you bless God's people. And I ask this one person under the sound of my voice who is not saved. I pray they would not leave, would not let this moment, this time, this service pass until they trust you as their personal Savior. We love you and thank you, Lord. Also, we ask in your name. Amen. God bless you, folks. You can be seated. All right. We pick it up this morning with King Solomon. He is the king of Israel. If you were to go back one chapter to chapter 2 of 1 Kings, you'll read in 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 10 to 11, that Solomon's father David, who was the previous king of Israel, or the second king of Israel, has ended his reign as king. He is no longer king. In verses 10 to 11 of chapter 2, it says this. So David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And the days that David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. The remainder of the chapter of chapter 2 deals mainly with God using Solomon as a tool of judgment to execute judgment on those people who behaved wrongly during his father David's reign. If you go read the rest of chapter 2, I won't read it for sake of time, but the rest of the chapter, you see how God uses Solomon to deal with those people who acted wrongly, who behaved unethically during David's reign. But here we are in chapter 3, and the verses we just read in the beginning, if I can just kind of go back to verse 1, in verse 1 we read that Solomon, he marries the daughter of Pharaoh. I'm not going to read the verse second time, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but let me just say this by kind of a way of touching on this verse. If you were to cross-reference 1 Kings 3, verse 1, with 1 Kings 11, verse 1, chapter 11, verse 1 says this, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites." You'd read that the daughter of Pharaoh was the beginning of a pattern which led to Solomon's downfall. Now, back here in chapter 3, it didn't destroy him. In chapter 3, verse 1, he marries Pharaoh's daughter. It doesn't destroy him. However, this marriage with strange women, as the Bible refers to those who don't follow God, appeared to affect him in chapter 3 on a minor level, but eventually it led to his downfall. Folks, that's the deception of sin. We understand with sin, it takes you farther than you want to go and costs you more than you want to pay. You can't dabble with sin. If you dabble with it, you cannot handle it. And Solomon starts dabbling with sin with these strange women. Eventually, in chapter 11, it leads to his eventual downfall. So, I'm not going to spend more time than that on every sake of time here, but that's another message for another time. But again, just making the point here, we understand, be careful of sin. You cannot mess with sin and not get scarred from it. Now, if I can, let me take you to verse 5. Here, God, he appears, and that's where I started reading here this morning. God appears to Solomon in verse 5 in a dream, and he asks Solomon a question in this dream. It's a very unique question. As far as I understand it, it's a question that was never asked ever again in the Bible. It was, and I believe Solomon was the only one ever who received this question from God. And God asked Solomon in verse 5, "Ask what I shall give thee." He says, "Solomon, what do you want? What do you want?" Or if I can rephrase it again, "Solomon, I want to give you a wish. What would that wish be?" And from verses 6 to 9, King Solomon responds to God in that question. He responds to him. He answers that question. In verse 6, Solomon recognizes God's mercy to his father David. He also acknowledges God's kindness, not necessarily to him, but more to his father David, by allowing David's son to reign or be king. Now, let me say this if I can. Another side note here. I love God's mercy and kindness to a parent. But let me say this, not just, I love the fact when a parent understands the idea, when God showing mercy to a parent, not just allowing those children to grow up and do well in life, to be successful, but more importantly, or most importantly, in allowing those children to be saved and living for God. Listen, folks, many of you members understand, I say this often out loud publicly, and I mean it. One of the things I pray for all the children of this church, that God would save them at a young age. That's my first prayer request. See them get saved. For those two ladies in this church who are expecting children, that's one of the, as soon as those babies come into this world, that'll be my first prayer request for those babies, that God would, they would live for God, they would get saved and live for God. The most important thing, trusting Christ as your personal Savior. And again, I appreciate the parent who has a mentality, I don't just want to raise kids who live well and are successful materialistically or have a good life, but I want to raise kids who are godly kids, kids who will live for God. And praise God, David's son Solomon did that. He became a king of Israel, but not just a king, but a godly king. There are many kings who did not live godly, and Solomon, for most of his life, he lived godly. And I love 3 John verse 4. 3 John verse 4 says this, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." That should be the prayer for every parent in every every parent on the sound of my voice, every saved parent, God, please let my children be saved and live for you, whatever that may be. Then in verse 7, 1 Kings 3, verse 7, Solomon portrays his lacking and humble spirit before God when he says this in verse 7, towards the end of the verse, I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. What he's saying is, God, I'm lacking. I have no idea how to be the king of Israel. I have no idea how to run this country. I'm just a child. I'm so inadequate. I've said this before as well, folks, but when I was a newer Christian and I was at Heritage Baptist Church in Wallingford, Connecticut, I remember Pastor Tom Bish, he preached a message. I'll never forget the message he preached. And in the message, I can't tell you the title of the message, but I remember the whole theme of the message. He said this: there are two words that are the greatest words that any Christian could ever say. And those two words are simply this: I can't. I can't. I am unable. I can't. But listen, I can't, folks, but I know someone who can. It's a good day when a husband or wife says, God, I have no idea how to run my marriage successfully. I need your help. Would you help me? It's a good day when an employer says, God, I have no idea how to take care of these employees and run this company, but I know you can. Would you help me? It's a good day when a child says, God, I had no idea how to be a good child to my parents, but you do. Can you help me? It's a good day when you fill in the blanks, when a Christian says, God, I have no idea how to be a good Christian, but you do. Can you help me? It's a good day. I can't. Two words to hang on to: I can't. I know someone who can. The quicker we come to that realization that we are unable to function properly as a parent, a child, a spouse, an employee, an employer, a Christian, or you fill in the blank, the better off we will be. We realize we can't, but God can. What a good day that is. I think of James chapter 4, verse 10, that says this: humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So we see Solomon. We see thanking God for his mercy to his father David, thanking God for his kindness, allowing David to have his son sit on the throne, the next king of Israel. We see Solomon's humility. God, I am unable. I'm inadequate. I'm like a child. Help me to run this country. I can. But then in verses 8 to 9 of 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon, he verbalizes his wish. Remember, God said, I'm asking you one wish. And here's where Solomon, if you will, he tells God what his wish is. And I'll read verse 8 to 9 again, and I'll kind of paraphrase it. In 1 Kings 3, verse 8 to 9, he says this: and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? What he says this is simply this: God, you have given me the privilege, the honor, to serve such wonderful people who I love dearly. You know, when I was penning the message, I had to stop just to catch my breath, if you will. I was thinking about today. I was kind of finishing up my thoughts yesterday for the message, thinking about what's going to happen today, yesterday, or saying what's going to happen tomorrow being today. Who's going to be here? What's going to happen? What's going to happen down the road 1 month from now, 2 months from now, 3 months from now? I am nothing but a sinner saved by his grace. I'll never claim to be a good pastor. My heart started breaking. God, help me to serve such great people at Grace Baptist Church. People I love dearly. As Solomon said, please give me the wisdom and the understanding to serve them and lead them, consistently pointing them to you. I guess when he realizes an order put in place that people are encouraged to stay home, it kind of makes you realize how much you miss him, how much you love him. I just sat there for a while. Just thank God for every single member of Grace Baptist Church. Blessed, so blessed. And in verse 10, after he says those words, after he says, God, give me that understanding, Give me the wisdom to point those people to you, because I have no idea how to lead them. I don't know how to serve them. I'm like a child. Would you please help me just make a decision, because these are so great a people. And I say amen to that. In verse 10, the verse says, and the speech pleased the Lord. God liked what Solomon said. He liked what he heard. He was pleased with what Solomon wished for and what he asked for. Now, if you look at verse 11, God goes into more detail. The verse says in verse 11, and God said unto him, unto Solomon, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. I'll stop there. Based on the language of the verse, we get the impression that God was pleased that Solomon did not ask for wealth. He was pleased that Solomon did not ask for health. He was pleased that Solomon did not ask for fame or his enemies to be destroyed or removed. But based on the language, we understand what God was pleased with was that Solomon asked for understanding to discern judgment. I mean, understanding here means wisdom or knowledge to make right decisions. If you will, he said, God said, Solomon, I'm pleased because all you wanted was to know wisdom to make right decisions that are pleasing to me. That's what God was saying. Praise God for the Christian. Again, I know I'm repeating myself, but praise God for Christians. God, I have no idea what to do, but you know. Give me wisdom in making right decisions. Now, let me keep, I got hasting because I have 45 minutes on this FaceTime before it shuts down, so let me keep going here. But this morning here, looking at the story, as we head into the focus of the message, let me ask you, if God came to you personally and said you have one wish, how would you respond? Just think about that. That's kind of a heavy question. It's probably not something you can answer right off the cuff. You might have to think about it for a while. Would you ask for wealth? God, make me just wealthy the rest of my life. Never worry about any finances ever. Would you ask for health? God, make me healthy, cancer-free. Make the coronavirus be gone. Would you ask for that? Would you ask for fame? God, give me popularity among my city or my town and be able to make an impression. If I become mayor, whatever the case may be, people like me. What would you ask for? That was a question I thought about for a long time. What would you ask for? So thinking about this matter of this one wish, let me just give you two thoughts this morning. Two thoughts, and we'll be done here this morning. Number one, a great wish that anyone could ever ask for or could choose would be for eternal life. Eternal life. Go to John chapter 3, verse 17. John 3, 17. Most of you know John 3, 16. For God so loved the world, that wonderful verse. Go one verse past that, verse 17. John 3, 17. John 3, 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God said he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, the world might be saved. So, now listen, we understand, or maybe you don't understand, so let me clarify if I could. When the verse says the word world, it's not referring to the physical planet we're stepping on or living in, this universe of stars, not that land or the landscape, nothing like that. Simply put, referring to the people. People. And that verse tells us that it's a desire for God to save the world through his Son Jesus Christ. Listen, my friend, we are living in different times here, and I believe I can speak for most of us, if not all of us, when I say that we have never, or I have never been in a situation like this before in my life. I've never been in a situation before, ever. I said, you because of a disease, you got to stay home from church. Disease, you can't go to the local, most restaurants are closed down, banks are closed down, things of that nature. I've never been in a situation like this before in my life. It's brand new for all of us, if not most of us. And there's a fear of a disease looming over this country, and people are trying to react in order to preserve life and eradicate a disease. And I'm all for curing this thing. I'll say that again. I am all for curing this thing, as this has made life a whole lot more complicated and stressful for everyone. It's certainly not ideal. But my friend, as we desire to preserve our physical well-being, we should strive much more for our spiritual well-being, for eternal life. Much more. You know, most of you heard the name, I'll pronounce it wrong, Juan Ponce de Leon. I'm probably saying that wrong. He was searching for what we know, the Fountain of Youth, back in the 16th century. He searched and searched until 1513, he stumbled into Florida. Praise God for Mr. Juan. Amen. But he was searching for the physical, if you will, to live forever, which obviously he never found it. But again, we understand in most cases we're going to live for 70, 80, or 90 years or longer on this earth. But after that, we're going to spend eternity somewhere else. You can't even comprehend what eternity is. I can't. Blows your mind. Forever and ever. It never stops. But listen, my friend. I believe a wonderful wish would be for a person to receive eternal life. And eternal life is not just a wish available to one person, but it's available to anyone and everyone who is willing to follow the Bible way. Realizing that you and I are sinners, and because of our sin, we fall short of heaven, according to Romans chapter 3, verse 10, and Romans 3, 23. Understanding that we deserve a place called hell for our sins, according to Romans chapter 6, 23, and Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 to 15. And also acknowledging that only the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away our sins and be that necessary payment for our salvation, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And John 14, 6. And then taking Jesus Christ at his word and asking him to come in your heart as your personal Savior, according to Romans 10, verse 9, which says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Listen, my friend, again, I am certainly not trying to make light of the situation we're all in. Don't misunderstand me. I hope cure comes tomorrow. I'll be praising God with you if it does. But right now, we understand the most important thing, even now, yesterday, and tomorrow, is eternal life. Listen, people are on edge. They are on edge. They're hearing every day in the news about more people getting infected, more people dying. You heard rumors over there, and I heard it on the news today, and I'm not trying to spread rumors. I heard it from a news clipping, so I'm not trying to spread a rumor. I heard in California, the words martial law came up. Whether that was by a person or the government, I have no idea. That's what I heard on news clipping on the internet. You can take that with a grain of salt if you want. I don't want to make people more worried or scared. And again, this matter of death is becoming more of a reality to a lot of people. But let me say this, I'm not trying to be morbid, but what an opportunity to tell someone about Jesus Christ and giving them a gospel track, or mailing them a gospel track, or whatever the case, or emailing them a gospel track, giving them an opportunity to read it. They too can trust Christ and be saved. Tell them that about the live stream we're doing. They can go on the live stream and they can tell, and they can watch the messages and hear about Jesus Christ and trust Christ. Because the greatest wish that anyone could ever wish for is that of eternal life. I am thankful. As far as I know, my five children, they made decisions for to trust Christ their Savior. I believe they're sincere, which means when I go to heaven, when I die and my kids die, I'll be with them forever. What an opportunity! What an amazing, amazing comfort that is. No greater joy hearing my children walk in truth. Now, before I move on to my last point, let me go back to what God said to Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 11. Go back to 1 Kings 3, verse 11. Halfway through the verse, he said this. Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies. I'll stop there. Let me just say this. You look at eternal life with Jesus Christ, and you compare it with that checklist or that laundry list that God just gave in verse 11. Long life, riches, getting rid of your enemies, fame, so on and so forth. If you take eternal life and compare it with those, there is no comparison. There is no comparison. Eternal life is infinitely such a better selection than anything this world could ever offer. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And number one, I use a vernacular, best wish anyone asked for is a wish for eternal life. Number two, last point I've done this morning. Number two, let me say this. A great wish anyone could choose would be, as the Lord put in response to Solomon, is having godly wisdom in making decisions. Having godly wisdom in making decisions. Go to Job chapter 28, verse 28. Job 28, 28. Job 28, 28. He says this. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil. Understanding. Imagine God giving you that wisdom or that understanding to help you to make good decisions, right decisions for your family, for your career, for yourself. And look at the coronavirus issue we're dealing with right now. We need our leaders and the powers that be to have wisdom and understanding, not just wisdom, but godly wisdom, to make good decisions for the direction of this country, balanced decisions. That will be, I want more than just good wisdom, making good, godly decisions that are best for this people, not just physically, but spiritually. Or I'll reverse that, spiritually first, then physically next. Solomon's a great example of this, if I could, because if you look at verse 28, it says to depart from evil is understanding. God's word says that staying away from evil or staying right will give you understanding. And again, Solomon is a great example of this. Staying right with God will give you understanding. Let me explain that. In verse 3, 1 Kings 3, verse 3, halfway through the verse, it says this, walking in the statutes of David his father. At this point in his life, when he was in chapter 3, verse 3, Solomon was doing right. He was honoring God. And granted, we understand he did wrong with I believe he did wrong marrying the Pharaoh's daughter, but for the most part, he walked in the statutes of God, David his father. He departed from evil. He had the wisdom and understanding to choose wisely when God talked to him in a dream. But if you fast forward, go to 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4. 1 Kings 11, verse 4. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. He let his wives turn away his heart. He stopped departing from evil, or if you will, he started running towards evil. And because of it, he started making foolish decisions. In chapter 11, verses 5, verses 7 to 8, he started worshiping false gods. In verse 6, he did blatant evil in the sight of the Lord. My point is, he just made foolish decisions because he would not depart from sin. If you will, he lost the understanding, the wisdom, because he stopped departing from evil. They are, folks, they are a package deal. Departing from evil gives you that wisdom, that understanding, and making decisions, right decisions, good godly decisions. And the end result, that was because of his disregard for God and doing right, his son Rehoboam will lose the kingdom of Israel and only get 2 of 12 tribes. Let me ask you a question. You ever take Sudafed at night? Or NyQuil? I know it acts differently, in people's bodies. For me, if I take NyQuil, I'm out, man. I'm gone. I'm like, is this night? I fall asleep. That's what I do. And I know if I had to make a decision, and I was to chug a whole bottle of NyQuil, probably would not be a good idea to make a decision chugging a bottle of NyQuil, which I would never recommend. All right, follow the labels on the instructions, folks. Amen. I won't get in trouble either. But my point is, I would not want to be, if you will, overcome or controlled by another substance and make a decision. Well, use the same analogy. If we let sin control us, we let sin get the best of us. I know all of us are sinners. We'll never be without sin. But if you just start heading towards sin, you immerse yourself more in sin, and then try to make a wise decision, the same idea, you can't do it. You're not going to make a wise decision spiritually or biblically if you are immersing in sin. can't do it. As Job 28:28 says, I'll echo the end of the verse again. And to depart from evil is understanding. Please listen, my friend, listen. Now is not the time to start departing from evil. Now is not the time to lose or lack wisdom, which is vital at this point, running our families, making decisions for our homes at this stage in the game. With all this uncertainty around us, we need wisdom and understanding and making good, godly decisions for God. We need that, folks. It's vital. So don't run to evil. Don't run to sin. You'll lose that understanding. We saw that with Solomon. Stay right with God and have the wisdom and understanding. And by the way, another way to gain wisdom from God, godly wisdom, is just ask for it. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Ask God for wisdom. When's the last time we did that? God, would you please give me wisdom and decision making for my home, my family, my job? When's the last time we spent time with God? Please give me wisdom. I don't know about you, but I need wisdom. And if I could say one last thing at this point before I close it up this morning. In Proverbs 16, verse 16, it says this, Proverbs 16:16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? That wisdom and understanding, according to God, is much more precious than gold and choice silver. As I mentioned in the last point, God said to Solomon in 1 Kings 3:11, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies. God said, listen, you didn't ask for the material things. You had enough wisdom to ask for the judgment or the understanding to make good judgment or good decisions. You take wisdom and understanding and you compare it to a long life, riches, getting rid of your enemy, etc. There is no comparison. That godly wisdom and the understanding is a far better selection than anything this world can offer. Anything. Folks, listen. The best wish we could ask for, I'm done, I'm wrapping up this morning. The best wish we could ever ask for, eternal life. And if you're saved, praise God, you'll never lose it. Or if you know someone else who's not saved, man, pass that on. Best wish anyone would wish for. And then number two, asking for wisdom and making right decisions. Hey, let me ask you, I'm done this morning. If you had one wish, what would you ask for? One wish. Would you ask for the things of this world, the material things, the fame, the fortune, the gold, the silver? Or would you ask for things that are of God and not of this world? Eternal life and godly wisdom and understanding. By the way, those godly things or those treasures in heaven are things that, according to Matthew chapter 6, verse 20, are things where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Those are eternally secure. Choose wisely, my friend. Choose wisely. Maybe you're in this room or listen to the live stream and you've chosen eternal life. You'll never lose that, praise God. But if you have not trusted Christ, you can at this time. By taking him as your personal Savior, understanding you're a sinner, realizing you deserve hell for your sins, and ask him to come in your heart as your Savior. If you believe you're lost, and understand you're lost, you can ask him to come in your heart. Again, it's not a matter of a prayer. I'm not trying to make you just pray some words. But if you're in the sound of my voice and you understand you're lost, you're not saved. Like Romans 10:9 says, you can pray and say, Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to go to hell. Please come into my heart and save me. Take me to heaven when I die. If you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, understand that only the blood of Jesus Christ can save you, not your good works, not your baptism, not your church membership. Only the blood of Jesus Christ, you too can be saved. But if you are born again, which you'll never lose, what about that wisdom? We all need wisdom all the time. And one of the best ways to get wisdom is stay away from evil. Simply ask God for it. Why would we want to immerse ourselves in more wickedness and sin during this time when we need wisdom so desperately? Hey, stay in this book. Stay in it. Stay your devotional time. Stay close to God. Stay in church, whether you have to be live stream or come to the house of God. That'll help keep you clean. Just ask me every day, God, give me wisdom, make decisions for you. Let me ask you all, bow your heads and close your eyes.